Well, you know, last service was a little awkward for me because, like I said, my dad moved out here. He's 88, right? So, he's single, ladies. So, Amy, any of the single ladies out there? All right? No? Okay. All right. Well, yeah. So my dad's 88, and I had to tell him something for the first time that he didn't know. When I was just five years old, my mom took me to the Woolworths department store, and I really wanted Wacky Pack stickers. Now, if you're my age or so, you know what the Wacky Pack stickers are. If you were born in the 90s, they were the Garbage Pail Kids, right? So they were these stickers that just made fun of products, you know? And they were kind of vulgar, right? So my parents were always like, no, you're not getting those things. So that fateful day at the Woolworths, I took a pack, and I stuck it in my shorts pocket, and we walked out, and my mom didn't know that I stole some Wacky Pack stickers. I was quiet the whole way home, a little scared. What if she finds out, right? So when I got home, I ran to my room, right, and I looked at them, I took them out, and then I peeled them off, but I'm like, I can't put these anywhere where my mom's going to see them. Right? So I stuck them on the bottom of my dresser, like at an angle that she would really have to go and look for them, right? But I could see them, right? I could enjoy the stolen Wacky Pack stickers, right? The next day, I ripped them off because I was so full of guilt, you know? I was like, oh no, I've got to get rid of this, you know? Or as the police say, destroy the evidence, right? And so, I have to confess, I am a shoplifter. I am a thief. I am a criminal. I've stolen many a woman's heart. No. Y'all don't believe that one, do you? Okay. I was scared that my mom would find out about my sin and that I would have to pay the consequences. Because when you're five, you don't want consequences, right? Right? When you're 5 years old, you don't want consequences. When you're 55, you don't want consequences, right? When you're 85, you don't want consequences. When you're 105, good for you. Man, do what you want. No, if you make it that long. See, I did the crime, but I didn't do the time. I beat the system. I got away with it, right? Or maybe my anguish, my anxiety, my guilt, maybe that was the consequence. Because that's the thing, the phrase people use nowadays is, hey, it doesn't matter what I do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, right? It doesn't matter what I do because it's not going to hurt anybody. So what I do on my phone, what I do on the internet, what I do in my thought life, what I do in private, all these things, as long as it's not hurting anybody, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal because what we do in our mind and what we do in our bodies and all these things, they do have consequence even if it doesn't directly impact everyone. You see, every choice, every action, every thought has a consequence. So let's think about that word consequence. The first part is con. If you speak Spanish, you know, it's with, right? But it comes from the Latin meaning together or with. And then we get the word sequence. So con sequence or with sequence. It literally means what follows. What follows. So a consequence is what follows an action. A consequence is what follows a thought. A consequence always is preceded by something. Consequences don't exist on their own. They always have a cause. So today, I want to tell you that sin does have consequences. And I want to tell you a story about a well-known man that made a big, big mistake. And it cost him a lot. Not Jerry Jones, no. Y'all need to laugh, okay? Because I need the help today, right? The consequences for this man, they were severe because his sin became everyone's consequence. His sin became everyone's consequence. And that man, his name was Achan. Now, let me tell you the backstory to Achan. Achan's part of the nation of Israel. Israel has left Egypt, and they've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. That's a long time wandering, not in a straight path, wandering around for 40 years. And then God says, you know what? I want to take you into the promised land. Now, the promised land we know as the nation of Israel today. So he's like, 40 years wandering in the desert. I'm taking care of you. Now go into the promised land. And the first city they face is the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho is the biggest city in the area. It's the most fortified city in the area. It has this giant wall. They've got the most powerful king, and this army is going to show up and try to defeat them. And God says, if you will follow what I tell you to do, you're going to defeat this city. So you got a bunch of people who have been wandering in the desert, and they show up at this city, and God says, here's what I want you to do. For 6 days straight, I want you to just walk around the city and blow the trumpets. So they did it. They walked around the city for 6 days, and every time they did it, six times. So six times six is 36. I can do the math. I did it. You would be impressed if you knew. But so 36 times they had walked around the city. You know what they were doing? They were trying to intimidate the people inside the city. But there was also another reason. They were giving a warning. You could surrender if you want. 36 times, 6 days, we've given you a warning that we're here. But the people of Jericho, they had placed their confidence in their fortification. They had placed their confidence in their gods. And so they did this. And then on the seventh day, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around six times. And then on the seventh time, oh, I was wrong. I did six times six. It was seven times each day. Seven times seven is 49. All right. So 49 times. And then that last day, walk around seven times. But on the seventh time, I want you to just yell as loud as possible. And they did. And when they yelled, the walls of Jericho literally just fell down. And the army rushed in. And they killed everybody. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Man, this seems kind of brutal for God to kill anybody. But all right, let's think about this in a different perspective. Let's say today there were, 2 million people on our border. And we knew they were coming. And we knew what they wanted. You'd think we'd build a wall or something, right? But they won't let us put a wall between us and Oklahoma. What were you guys thinking? We know the Californians. We know what they want from us, right? They want freedom. They want no state tax, right? We know the people in Jericho, the king knew what this 2 million people wanted. But he believed that his city and his God was more powerful than a group of people wandering in tents and serving a God. Even though he knew all the stories that had come through the desert. Because remember, 2 million people wandering in the desert with a cloud and fire. These stories get out. And so God was offering Jericho the opportunity to repent and surrender. And you go, well, wouldn't they just kill him anyway? No, when the Israelites left Egypt, guess who went with them? Non-Jews, slaves, even Egyptians who said, man, your God is powerful. We're going to go with you. So even from Old Testament times, God was embracing people who were not part of Israel and saying, come on in, come on in. And so Jericho had that opportunity, but they refused. Now, here's the deal. God said, when you defeat Jericho, you're going to find a lot of good stuff. You're going to find gold. You're going to find silver. Don't take it for yourselves. Don't take it for yourselves. Instead, we want you to take that gold and silver, and we're going to use it for the temple. Now, this is a common thing. Some of you may have great-grandparents or grandparents that fought in World War II, right? And you're like, yeah, great-grandpa has some stuff with swastikas on it, right? Great-grandpa's like, this is the Luger I took off a German, right? Maybe great-grandpa has a sword that he brought back from Japan. Maybe your uncle has a gold toilet he took from Saddam Hussein's palace, right? it's very common for the victor to take the spoils for themselves. That sounds familiar, right? To the victor go the spoils, right? And so this one man, Achan, he goes into Jericho, and he's like, yeah! And he's fighting, and he's winning, and people are being killed. He's like, yeah! And then he looks, and he goes, ooh, what's that? Oh, is that gold? So he's like, I'll catch up, right? And so he puts a little bit there, and and he goes, oh, wait, what's that? And he finds some silver, and he goes, no one's going to miss this. And so he pockets that. But for every sin, there is a consequence. And so Achan's sin became a consequence for his family. It says in Joshua 7, verse 1, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now, you can look at this two ways. Some people say this is just about Achan, and other people say Achan was just one example of an Israelite that had taken stuff that they weren't supposed to take. I like the second version, and the reason I like that is because, yeah, he probably wasn't the only person taking things. They were all weak. They'd all been out in the desert wandering around. Of course they're going to take things. You see, what happened, though, is the next time that Israel went to fight another group, they lost. And 36 men died. Now, here's the crazy thing. They lost against an enemy that they should not have lost to. Like A&M versus Appalachian State, okay? We should not have lost. Like the Dallas Cowboys versus the Cleveland Browns. You're not supposed to lose those games. Right? Again. Yeah, we're going for it. We're going for it, yeah. Nobody likes Cleveland, right? Cleveland's been hurt for what, 20 years? Okay, so Israel loses this battle. Why? Because the Lord was angry that the Israelites had taken stuff that they weren't supposed to take. And so Achan's sin was Israel's consequence. People died because of Achan's sin. I don't know about you. I hate group projects. I hated group projects in school. Anybody hate group projects in school? Yeah, because what happens? You do all the work, and somebody else on the group doesn't do anything, and then you share the grade, and you're like, this is unfair. I don't do group projects in my classes. I refuse to do them. Or you've got a coworker and your boss puts you all on a project, or they say, hey, I want you to clean up this area. You do all the work and they take the credit. That's frustrating, right? It's like the person in a play that decides, I'm not going to memorize my lines. Everybody else knows their lines down, but one person not knowing their lines results in a consequence. There's a story, the quarterback for, at the time, Oakland Raiders, DeMarcus Russell. The coaches thought, he's not really doing the homework that we're assigning him. They were giving him DVDs with all the plays on it, and they wanted to get his feedback. So one day, they gave him a DVD that was blank. There was nothing on it. And he came into practice, and they said, did you look at those plays? And he went, yeah. What'd you think about them? Oh, they look good. DeMarcus Russell's sin had a consequence on his team. Our sin has a consequence whether we like it or not. You see, Achan sinned. And he thought his sin wasn't a big deal, thought he'd get away with it. But then what happens? Well, his sin gets revealed. In Joshua 7, verses 10 through 12, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up, what are you doing down on your face? And God said, Israel has sinned. They, plural, have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They, plural, have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. This is why the Israelites can't stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So in other words, you need to deal with that sin or the consequence is going to be defeat. So this is what happens. Joshua's like, we got to find this person. We got to find whoever has stolen these things so that God will not be angry with us and God will be with us. And so Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, this man Achan comes up and Achan replies, it's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. Well, I coveted them and I took them. And they're hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So the story goes that Achan and his whole family are put to death. That seems intense. Achan and his whole family are put to death. And you're like, wow, that doesn't seem fair because it was Achan's sin. See, the problem is Achan was part of a family. And sometimes our sin has consequence whether we like it or not. And so, yeah, this is uncomfortable. And some will say that what was happening was that Achan's family knew the treasure was there, knew what they were hiding. And so they were part of that sin. So yes, it seems harsh, and I'm feeling a lot better about getting away with Wacky Pack stickers. I'm feeling a lot better about having the grace of God rather than this judgment of God. But Achan's sin became his family's consequence. My dad is a child of the Depression, so he was born in 1934, right? 1934, my dad grew up on a farm, so he tells us all these stories about the animals and stuff like that, and one of the interesting things, he was telling me a story a couple weeks ago about how they would milk cows, and then they would take the milk to different people to sell it, and so he said, you know, we were milking the cows, and, well, the cows were doing stuff that fell into the milk. And so there were a little bit of that stuff that was floating. Oh, I just spelled it out. There was manure that had fallen in the milk. And so there was manure in the milk bucket. And he goes, I was young, so I went to this woman's house, and she opened the door, and she's like, oh, is that the milk? And he's like, yeah. And she saw the manure floating in the milk. And she was like, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's just a little cow manure. And he said, you can filter it out. Just like, she goes, I don't want that. I don't want to drink that. So somehow that little bit of sin had contaminated that bucket of milk. The milk hadn't done anything wrong, but that was the consequence. So Achan thought, if I just take a little bit of the spoils from me, then it won't affect anybody else. In fact, I'm probably helping my family get ahead. But that's not the way it works, because Achan's sin had a consequence for his family. Our first point today is, you're not alone. You ever hear that? No man is an island. No man is an island, right? Well, it's true. No man is an island, because when we say no man is an island, we're saying that what we do has an effect on other people, that I can't just drive the way I want because there are other people on the road. Believe me, I have tried. We can't just do what we want. There are other people we work with. There are other people we live with. Achan did not live in isolation, and you and I don't live in isolation. Sure, the sin was his, but it affected his family. The sin was his, but the consequence was everyone. There are so many issues that families are struggling with. There are so many issues that we are struggling with individually. And maybe the infidelity led to divorce, and now your child is paying the consequence of that sin, that original infidelity. Maybe gambling has taken a hold, and now your family is dealing with the consequence of not having the finances. Maybe that alcohol or that drug has taken such hold, and now the family is living with the consequence. My grandfather was an alcoholic, and he was not a nice alcoholic. He was a mean alcoholic, an abusive alcoholic. And my father paid the consequence for his father's sin. We don't live in isolation. Achan's sin became his family's consequence. And unfortunately, a lot of us, our sin has become our family's consequence. But the truth is that it wasn't just Achan's family, because Achan was part of Israel. So he was part of Israel, and his sin resulted in 36 men dying. So now his sin had a consequence on Israel. You see, our sin does affect everyone else. What we do matters. And so, sadly, some of you are having to deal with the consequences of somebody else's sin. Our nation is dealing with the consequences of sin. And I hope it's not our sin that they're having to deal with. You see, I think in the same way that a nation can deal with the consequences of sin, I think a nation can deal with the consequences of righteousness. You know, that then when we are godly people, that it will affect our nation in a positive way. But here's our other issue. Israel was just one of many nations. So Israel was just one of many nations. And so, yeah, it's not as red as it was in the family, because now it's diluted. It's more, right? But still, it affects. You see, the way the United States is in the world affects, because people look at us and go, you guys are a Christian nation, but you're pumping out pornography and you're pumping out all sorts of terrible things. What is going on with your culture? They look at our movies and they don't go, wow, what a godly nation, right? See, Achan's sin had a consequence on his family. His sin had a consequence on his nation. His sin had a consequence on the world. Why? Well, because Jericho was the biggest city, the most powerful city, and Israel defeated them. But when Israel went up against a smaller nation or a smaller community, they lost. All of a sudden, every other nation is looking and going, huh? Well, maybe this Yahweh, maybe this God isn't as big as they think. Maybe he's not as powerful as you think. You see, the defeat of the nation empowered other nations to believe that God wasn't as good as they thought. That God wasn't as powerful as they thought, because this little army could defeat Israel. Maybe that first one, maybe that was just a mistake. Achan's sin had a consequence on his family. His sin had a consequence on his nation. His sin had a consequence on the nations around him. Oh, man. I don't want my sin to be my family's consequence. And one of my pastor friends, he said this, your sin communicates to the world what is acceptable, what's appropriate for humanity. And so when we say we're Christians and we're believers, and they look at our lives and they go, well, you're really no different than anybody else, that our sin has an effect on everyone. On a lighter note, Will Rogers from Oklahoma said, so live that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. Right? So live that you're not afraid to send your kids over to Children's Church. Because I'll tell you, I taught middle school, Sunday school for years. Your brother James talks, okay? There were so many times kids would come in and go, hey, guess what my mom and dad did last night? And it's like, we don't have family parrots. We have 7 and 8 year olds, right? That just tell everything that's happening at home. Now the truth is, we all sin, right? We all sin. I think if I was in Achan's position, I would have done the same thing. I mean, honestly, if there's just like, we defeated this city and there's some gold, who's going to miss it? I'm just going to take a little bit, right? Oh, come on. Something doesn't ring up for the right price. We're out of there, you know? If Walmart cared, they wouldn't make me a checkout person, okay? You know? But that's what we do. I mean, okay, think about it. If you had the power of invisibility, what would you do? Would you sneak into Cowboys games for free? Would you go into a restaurant and just grab some food and be like, all right? Would you ever pay for a movie ticket again? Right? Would you go into locker rooms, places you don't belong? Would you ever pay admission again? Would you walk onto an airplane and take a flight to Paris and then, you know, while you're in the air, maybe just take a meal off the cart, maybe help yourself to some drinks and sit in first class because you don't have to pay. And then when you land, you know, you just get on the train and go into downtown and go to like the Ritz-Carlton and get the key to the presidential suite and, you know, try on the robe, sleep in the bed, and then just walk the streets of Paris grabbing cheese and baguettes and whatever you want to drink and like go into the Louvre for free and then go up the Eiffel Tower free. Not that I've thought about this. But the truth is, we're all aching. We're all aching. Okay, let's say it with me. We're all aching. One more time. We're all aching. Now, my dad is 88. I had to explain it's A-C-H-A-N, because he was like, yeah, I am aching. I'm like, Dad, I know we're all uncomfortable, but that's not. See, let's fess up. We are all aching. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, he said, in the Gospels, it would seem our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an arrogant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. That's what happened. Achan's like, yes, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this because he loves us and he's taking care of us in the desert for 40 years. Whoa, what is that, gold? Whoa, is that silver? Whoa, that's a nice robe. We're all aching. You see, it's not that, I'm just too weak against this temptation. No, our desires are just too weak. We're too easily pleased. You see, this is how temptation works. We're tempted, and then we justify it, and then we activate it, and then we get humiliated. Okay, so I really like ice cream. I don't know if you can tell I like ice cream. Some people would say I love ice cream. Anybody else love ice cream? Right? Yeah. And whenever you go, oh, I love ice cream, they're like, oh, why don't you marry it? You know? And I'm always like, can I? Is there a state where that's legal? You know, like maybe I'll go to Vermont. Do you, Garland, take Chunky Monkey? I mean, you know, if I were to lose my hand, I wouldn't replace it with like a prosthetic. I would replace it with an ice cream scoop, right? That would just make me happy. I would think about getting rid of the other hand and just having two paddles so I could work at Marble Slab. You know, blah, 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 just eat. I love ice cream. And I remember one time I got a blender, and I went to my friend at work, and I said, you know what? I have a problem eating ice cream, but I got a blender, and so now I make milkshakes, and I use half as much ice cream. You know what the problem is? Now I drink two milkshakes. See, the temptation was there, and I justified it, and then I activated it. And then I got humiliated. You see, that's the thing. Now, the story of Achan, this whole story could possibly have been omitted from the Bible if Achan had done this. Yeah, we defeated the city. That's gold. I need to report this to the right person so they can take it for our temple. Oh, that's silver. I need to report this to the right person so that we can use it in the temple. That's Babylonian robe. It's tacky. I'm not going to wear it, right? This whole story could have been omitted. How? If when he had the temptation, he hadn't justified it. Listen, we're all going to be tempted. We all have our temptations. Everybody has something that they want. You know? Our compulsions are natural. We all want to do what we want to do. I want my sin. You want your sin. We all want our sin. So temptation is a daily battle. What we need to ask God for is, arrest my mind in the justification phase. Stop me. God, just give me an extra moment to stop and think and go, why am I justifying this? Well, you know, my husband doesn't show me enough attention at home. Oh, you know, my wife, she's not available to me, wink, wink, you know? That's why this is okay. You know, the boss doesn't pay me enough. He won't miss his hubcaps, right? We justify. We justify. I'm worth more than that. I deserve this. I remember there was one couple, they were getting divorced, and the Christian friends were like, you know, it's okay. You deserve to be happy. And it's like, how about you deserve to work on your marriage so that you will both be happy? Okay, so what does God want from us? God wants us to cut out the sin so we don't have to deal with the consequences. That's what he wants. So this is the great thing. There is a way out. There's a way out. I mean, I can imagine Achan doing that, going, what's the big deal? It's just a little silver. What's the big deal? It's just a little gold. What's the big deal? It's just some clothing, right? But he had to hide it, like a pack of Wacky Pack stickers. He had to hide this. He knew it was wrong. But he wanted his sin. But what happens? His family deals with the consequences of his sin. His nation dealt with the consequences of his sin. Surrounding nations dealt with the consequence of his sin. If Meredith could come up, we're going to close up pretty soon. Listen, some of you have sinned and you hate what it's done to your family. Some of you have sinned and you've lost your job because of it. Some of you have sinned and trying to keep it a secret is keeping you from intimate relationships with anybody else. We all want our sin, but my sin has an effect on my family, has an effect on Life Church, has an effect on Midlothian, has a consequence in Ellis County, has a consequence in Texas, has a consequence in the United States, and has a consequence to the whole world that looks at us. I don't want the consequences. If you're on TikTok, you may have seen those videos. Look, here comes a consequence, consequence, consequence. Consequences of my actions chasing me right now. I don't want no consequence, consequence. Listen, I don't want consequences either, but if I choose my sin, that's just what's going to happen. So, the fate of Achan doesn't need to be your fate. The fate of Achan doesn't, if you sin, yeah, there will be consequences. But God gives us a way out. He gives us a way out when we have these temptations. And he says, there is a way out. And if you've already sinned, there's a way out as well. So you don't have to end up like Achan. You don't have to live with this sin. And this is how it works. There's grace in the New Testament. You see, this man comes to Jesus at night and he says, hey, Jesus, what do I need to do to go to heaven? And Jesus says, well, you gotta be born again. And the guy, you know, kind of snarky, he's like, what, do I have to go back into my mom? And Jesus is like, ew. Jesus is like, no. Because if you go back into your mom, you're going to come out the same way. You're going to come out sinful. And so Jesus tells them this. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And then later, John wrote this in John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, if we say we have no sin, if we say, oh, I'm not Achan, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he, Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sins. If we could all stand, and we're going to close out here.